quick note before we get started. Today's episode was recorded late last year, I think in about October, in Matt's last week as the deputy head at Wesley College. So it's backdated a little bit, but I hope you still enjoy his conversation about leaving well before he moved on to his current role as principal at Great Southern Grammar. Also, on Friday, 21st of June, for our Sydney listeners, Ed Leaders is on the road and will be featuring a live podcast at the Toddle School Leaders Meetup in Sydney at the Sydney Opera House. Yes, at the Sydney Opera House. Friday, 21st of June, 2 p.m. to, I think, about 8 p.m. We've got some drinks happening afterwards. Inside, a little bit of fun, forging new connections. Make sure you get along if you are in Sydney. It is free, but you can get tickets. Sign up at learn.toddleapp.com/events. And we look forward to seeing you there. You can also check out our sponsors of today's show. That is PeopleBench and Paperly. Check them out at peoplebench.com.au and paperly.education. Now let's get to today's show. Welcome to Ed Leaders, the podcast covering all the interesting ideas about leadership, strategy, culture, and the business of K-12 education. I'm your host, Luke Kelly, and joining me each week in the chair is my co-host and colleague, Matthew Irving. Before we get started, if you haven't already, you should sign up to the weekly. Well, it hasn't quite been weekly lately, but we'll get back on track. Email sent out by the team at Ed Leaders. What should someone expect, Matthew, if they sign up for the newsletter?
Well, I think we all are very expectant, because I've missed reading a newsletter in the last few weeks. But certainly a great read, something to get your teeth into, but not too over the top. It won't take you down rabbit holes, but it will make you think with little golds of nugget, as Luke might say.
You can sign up to the newsletter at edleaders.com.au. I'll give you a 6.5 out of 10 for that one, Matthew. Well done. Now on to today's guest. Well, today's guest is actually the man himself, Matthew Irving. And today we are going to, I think it's going to be end up being part two or three of the series, I can't remember, of Matt's journey from deputy to the head honcho to principal. And today we are talking leaving well, Matthew.
Leaving well. That's not a subject we hear about very often.
No, not a subject that you hear very often about. But we are going to talk about leaving well. So without further ado, let's get to it. Matthew, welcome to your own show.
It's great to be with myself and with you.
All right. Well, the topic of today is leaving well. Now, as the audience knows, you've been on a journey for the last probably 3.5 months, probably since you got the offer. You know, we've been through a conversation around that process of the application, the interview, navigating the negotiation. And today we are talking about probably like maybe your last 6 to 8 weeks and the journey that you've gone on to leave well when it comes to leaving your current place of employment in a good position. So let me start off by kind of asking you, I guess, the steps you've taken to ensure a smooth transition from your current role to your next role.
Probably the first step I've taken is actually spending some time. I think there's some time to do some inner work and some reflection, because it is a milestone, is a season coming to an end, but also a season beginning. It is a new adventure for many. Maybe it's to retirement, maybe it's to the unknown. Wherever you might go, I think there's a great opportunity to do reflection in that, I guess, in that frame. So I guess the thing I've had to do some work on in preparing that transition to do that well out of the current role is to think about how you honour others, how you maintain your own integrity, and how might you have some fun along the way. And probably the first thing I had to spend some time on was, what am I going to finish? Because in schools, nothing is ever finished. And there's this great sense, you're trying to hold your integrity together. I'm going to finish this and this and this, and you're working for other people. And I think one of the markers of my transition has been, actually, I'm never going to get to all the work. But what I can do is put down some clear markers of where I am going to finish up with a piece of work and where others might pick that up. So I think that's been a really important part of preparing for that transition. I think the other piece of work in transitioning well is I try to be quiet. And I'll just want to float off into the sunset, you know, just no fuss.
How'd that go for you, Matt? How'd you go?
Yeah, no,
being quiet.
Not good. No, good. Well, no, it was funny because I did want to be quiet, but others want to honour you in a particular way. People actually love you despite what you think, and I've learned that clearly this week. And so you actually need to hand some of that over. It's going to happen if you like it or not. So I think as part of the transition, letting go, I think it's been really important. And I think the other thing that's really been evident to me, and I often preach it, but I actually don't practice it, is that don't pretend you know what people need in terms of handing over the position. Don't pretend. Ask them what they think they need and how they need it. It's very easy for people to create all these wonderful handover notes, you know, and manuals for the life of the work of the deputy. Spend some time with those people that might be coming into the role. Ask them what they need before you go down a rabbit hole. And for me, it was about just identifying some work streams, where I've got up to with some work, and if I was staying, what I might do. But I didn't go into the lengths of, you know, a day in the life of every relationship, how I manage a meeting. There's a whole lot of intangibles. People do it their own way. Get out of the way, but firstly ask them what they need and how they need it. So that's some of the work I've done. And I think in these last days, today is actually my last day. You've got to hold things lightly. You are not in control. And in holding things lightly, you have an opportunity to soak it up and enjoy it. And, you know, as I said at the top of this part of this dialogue, is it's a moment in time and it goes by so quick. So really do enjoy it. And that requires you to just let go, hold everything lightly, and have a bit of fun. So that might be the start of our conversation. There's quite a bit in that.
Yeah, I guess I want to go back a few steps and talk about when the actual announcement was made as well, how that went for the school in terms of when it was announced to your staff, you know, in that moment. What was that like for you when that was announced? What was it like for them? What happened kind of afterwards? And the ensuing days, you know, what went into planning that conversation? Anything you can shed a light on there?
Well, it all happens very quickly from the time there's the offer and there's acceptance, because schools want to line up those announcements. And so, you know, the SWAT team comes in and, you know, comms are written and, you know, what do you want said, and do you approve this, and does the other school approve this? And it's a whole whirlwind. It happens so quickly. And again, it's one of those things. A lot of it's not in your control. Others will decide for you. But it is, again, another really key marker in the experience. And Lap It Up is actually one of feeling elated. It's one of great joy. And there will be a lot of people rushing around you, but there will be people that will just be wanting just to come up and say, congratulations, this is so good. We are so sad to be leaving. You know, we're devastated. Well, no, they don't say that. But they wish you well in the same space in which they're feeling a little bit of grief. But for you personally, you feel absolutely elated and really excited in that moment. Emotions might change over time.
Can you talk about the journey that you've had to go on with those who you work closest with? You know, like in your context, there's another deputy. There's also, you know, like there's an EA that you guys share. Is there anything you can kind of talk about when it comes to the relationship with those that you work very closely with during that 10 or 12 weeks?
Well, it amplifies the importance of those relationships, and it reminds you actually how closely you work with each other, and you're sharing this journey with them. And then there are times where there is, an element of panic that sets in. Oh, who's going to be here to do that? Who's going to do that work? And so there's this sort of sorting out, if you like, of work streams. So there is that sense of those relationships and the importance of them being amplified, but also there's that little bit of panic. Oh, who's going to be here? Who's going to do that? And I think you also, in those relationships, you have to be prepared. And I said this as soon as it was announced, and I remember going into my boss's office and I said, I know that I'm going to start being left out of meetings. I'm going to start being left out of emails. I'm going to all of a sudden not know what's happening in every corner of the school, because people need to start planning for the future. They need to start planning ahead. And so I knew that in my head. And so I declared that so everyone didn't feel awkward in those really close relationships. And then there was this little magical switch that happened in the last few weeks. And you realize, oh, geez, I don't know that. Oh, I wasn't including that. And it just hurts a little bit, even though intellectually, you know, it has to happen. Oh, you know, it hurts a little bit. So I guess that's some of the, realities in working so closely with people, being so close to the coalface, knowing so much about how your organization works. Yeah, it's almost like a little piece of you dies a bit, but you know that that's the way it has to be.
You talked there about those around you going, who's going to be there? Who's going to be doing that? Obviously, there's, you know, in most instances, there's always going to be some form of a replacement for a role. Schools being how they are, often the role that is left is replaced with something that's different. And because, and I personally think that's usually because the person who's replacing you has a different skill set and the workflows move fluidly in a school depending on the person that's coming into roles. Can you talk about that journey to whether it's a job advert going up for your role, how that felt when that happened? You know, when either you or the people around you started getting applications for that role. Can you talk us through that little part of the journey?
Well, I was probably in a pretty unique space because part of my job's always been to look at the organizational structures and look at design. And so I was pretty clear if I was in charge, I'd not be necessarily replacing me in the same way. And so much of, you know, some people's role is about their personality and it's actually not what the organization needs going forward. So you need to get clear pretty quickly. Everyone's replaceable and it looks different. And I like the fact that it looks different. I was fortunate enough to be brought in to be asked what it should look like and how it might be shaped and what part of what I do needs to be held because they're very important for the organization to go forward, where other parts should go to other leaders and which bits could be perhaps put to the side because, you know, they might have been a passion project of mine and not necessarily something that might go forward. So I was lucky to come into the tent. You know, I was fortunate enough to review the JD, but what I felt was quite strange where applicants were asked to ring me. I found that really, yeah, really strange because you've got candidates ringing and I'm trying to tell them about my job and what I do, but no, it's actually not the job that's going to be done. But to almost be spruiking your job for someone else, that is quite, I think, a unique thing. I think ordinarily you'd be left out quite rightly and other people would pursue recruitment and the like. I did feel actually quite comforted when the advert went up to go, right, decision's been made, we're being decisive, we're moving things forward. And then I also felt also really excited about the people that had put their names forward because I had spent time talking with them and I knew that wherever the school decided to go, that would be in safe hands. Of course, not appropriate for me to anywhere near interviews, but I just thought it was interesting that I was part of that beginning part. And then, of course, the announcement comes and you go, oh, I am replaceable. I've just been replaced, you know, and you're sort of reminded by your colleagues, well, you chose this. You chose to leave. So it's a really interesting, you know, almost a little surreal moment to go, oh, I'm being replaced. I chose it. And now there's someone coming in. Actually, they're probably going to be better than me. Actually, they will be better than me. So it's a really interesting thing. And on, I guess, that journey from being announced to be going somewhere to this part, there's this kind of plateauing that commences in your sort of your emotions. There's a real neutrality to where you sit. And so yeah, I think that's a really interesting, it's almost like a little bit of a dip, if you like, of that emotional journey that you go on.
Well, I imagine there's also that at that part of the journey, there's this realization that I'm not taking on any new work. And so I'm not being involved in new things that are happening. And I'm just trying to worry about which projects are going where. Can you talk about how many people different projects have ended up in?
In terms of how they've been dispersed? Yeah. Quite a lot of the work I do around infrastructure has been resized. We're actually bringing external project manager into the college to take that on. And I would say that's probably a third of my role that's been, I guess, outsourced, if you like. I guess a lot of the academic work I do has been given to this new person. The innovation and tech work that I do has been given to this person. The broader strategy of college has gone to the head. And again, that's probably a third of my work. And then there's a lot of, I guess, innovation projects, which I've been sponsoring and guiding, have been sort of dispersed amongst directors that have been reporting to me. So, and I would say that's a third of my work. So I think there's been a really interesting sort of breakup of the role. And I think thirds is probably not a bad way of describing it. And I think that's right for where we are as a college and where our journey is up to and where it needs to go next. But again, it's just, this is interesting, you know, things get resized, you know, and it changes the way those relationships work too, because there's not one person holding it. So, you know, it's an evolution, but palming off big chunks of your work to different people has been really interesting. I think the other thing that's been interesting in that is two things. Number one, all those people are trying to get stuff out of your head because perhaps you haven't written it down. And so there's a sense of panic from them. And so I think that's really interesting. The second bit, and I guess this goes a bit to your question, you know, what to do next. So many of those projects, you're sitting with people and they're going, so Matt, what do I do next? Like, what? Can you just write it all out and can you tell me how to action X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, well, I can, but ultimately you need to decide. I'm not in the chair. So giving people confidence has been really interesting that, you know where things can go and that I'm not going to be there. This is your project now. And so there's a really interesting, line there.
I think the challenging part about that, having worked with you and schools in general, is that there's so much context that goes into some of those aspects of your role. And there's so much background knowledge and background information that, yes, while you're, handing over the project and the reins, there's an element of you've got to understand X, Y, Z, A, B, C, E, F, G, H, because there's so much context that goes into what decision you might need to make or what decisions there will be to make. Have you gone about kind of trying to describe some of the context when you've, broken that, those third chunks up?
Mm. I think it goes back to a little bit of a document I worked on. And again, I'm not into handover notes, but I think in trying to provide context, there's sort of broke it up into pieces. So what are the work streams? I think was really important. The context in which those things are happening historically, you've got to look backwards to look forwards, if you like. They're keeping it very tight. I think context is often driven by relationships. So for each work stream, I was really clear about all the stakeholders. Who do I work with and why do I work with them? And I think that was a crucial part of the context. The second part of the context, if you like, in building that was to be clear about, where I was finishing work and where I felt comfortable in terms of the switch handover. And then moving forward, I had another box, if you like. If Matt was to stay in 2024, this is what he would do next and this is why. Not you need to do this next if Matt was staying here. And I was really conscious of those through lines and those connections. I can connect the dots in my head, but someone else might not be able to do that. So I just did feel like the work stream, looking a little bit backwards, stakeholders, where I'm finishing work and what I might do next, was not a bad way of providing that overall context for those pieces of work.
You talked there about your stakeholders that you were dealing with. How many stakeholders were there that you listed amongst all of the projects that you were working on?
Off the top of my head, it was high level stakeholders. So, I obviously didn't write, 200 staff and things like that. But I would say there'd be, 40 to 60 stakeholders, internal and external, because I work with a lot of external consultants and I work obviously with a lot of internal leaders. So, there'd be sort of 40 to 60 in that range, a lot of overlap in those relationships as well. You might be working with them on a multiple work stream or project, if you like. So, there's quite a lot of relationships in there, and some of them are teams. So in a team, you've got 10, 12 people. In a design team, I'd have 8 people. So, there were quite a few stakeholders and ones that also have soft connections with externally. So we might be looking down the path at a new piece of tech. Well, I've already established a relationship there. It's going to be a 2-year journey. You need to know that person and hear their contact details. So that was also an interesting piece in identifying stakeholders.
As a leader of a school, you're probably aware that on average, around 80% of the cost of running a school is the salaries and on-costs of its workforce. And yet most schools do not have a comprehensive visibility of their workforce data and metrics. That's where PeopleBench Excel, through their painted in school workforce benchmarking and strategy development platform. They use data science, machine learning, and predictive analytics to provide insights and resources that support school leaders to become self-sufficient in responding to the future of work in schools. The platform can benchmark your workforce data to other like schools, build your workforce strategy, and monitor progress on metrics like teacher resilience and workforce culture, while keeping an eye on how these factors impact student outcomes. A PeopleBench subscription provides your school or system with access to their school workforce research, school workforce benchmarking tools, dashboards and reports, workforce resilience tracker, their workforce culture tracker, their workforce strategy tracker, and much, much more. Check them out at peoplebench.com. I've got a question for you. How many paper processes does your school have? Well, that's where Paperly comes in. Paperly is an integrated one-stop shop of intelligent workflows that can help your staff save time and reduce that administrative burden that we know exists in schools and we all face on a daily basis. They're a completely modular admin management solution, meaning you just choose whichever of the 16 super useful modules that your school needs. My personal favorite that we use is their calendar module, which makes the administration of the school calendar so much easier. Check out paperly.education today and chat with the team about a demo for your school. Now back to today's show. When you think about that, you know, that's a whole nother group of people that you had to kind of tell that you were moving on. But also for those people that are filling your roles, you know, they don't have the 2, 3, 5, 7 year history or relationship with those stakeholders. Is there anything, you know, more that you did to kind of connect the people or to give them the background or, you know, for someone coming in to kind of go, well, you've just been working with this team or that individual stakeholder or that board member for the last 3 years. Well, I can't possibly come in and have the same, I don't know, level of clout that you do. Is there anything that you've done specifically around that?
Well, that's a really good question. I think when we made the announcement that was moving on, we made a concerted effort to actually let all external stakeholders know. So there was a specific piece of communication that went to them. And they're the people that I work in, week out, that are external to the college. So we actually were really clear about that piece of communication. The second part of, I guess, preparing the ground with those relationships was, I guess, e-introductions. And I did quite a few of those, just letting you know, this person's taking on this role. I'd like to introduce you to them. And then in those communications, being clear, they will now work with you on X. So I felt like those e-introductions were really important. The third part was to spend time with the person that's coming into my role and others to talk about how they might build relationships. No good me saying, this is my relationship. It's got nothing to do with them, but encourage them on how do they listen and develop that rapport? How do they learn how that relationship will work? They need to establish those boundaries and working habits, not me, and then encourage them. You know, at some point, they will need to start leading and leading in that relationship. So just providing a little bit of coaching. I didn't do a lot of it, but I did a little bit of it because that external piece is probably the most unknown. I wouldn't say anyone in the organization knows what those relationships look like. They are very, very specific to me. And so I thought about that and going, that's a whole other thing that people are going to have to work at. So I guess those three, you know, pieces, putting the comms out and treating them like staff members, doing those e-introductions and being specific about the work, but on the coaching of those staff to go, okay, how much are you going about building that relationship? It's not going to be the same as mine. You need to establish your relationship. How might you do that? So I guess they were the three very, you know, sort of specific things I did, you know, in that external stakeholder piece.
You've talked about some of the, the highlights or the good stuff. What's been some of the hard stuff? What's been, you know, one or two of the more significant challenges over the last, you know, 10, 12 weeks that you've kind of found as you've been trying to leave well?
I think there are two clear challenges for me. Actually, there's probably more. There's probably heaps of challenges. What am I saying? Look, I think you need to be really, and I probably didn't actually understand this. I mean, I've left multiple organizations, but this was different. And you're holding and living in three, for me, I was living in three worlds and it was instant. I'm living in the world of, oh my goodness, I'm leaving an organization. I'm leaving a school and there's so much work to be done. And there's so many expectations from stakeholders. I am now entering into a new position and guess what? They have expectations of you too. And they're already consulting and preparing your transition and, you know, lots and lots of phone calls. So you're living in two professional worlds. And if you're like me, you have a family and you're relocating and you're needing to find accommodation and, you know, schooling options and the like. And so you're living in these three worlds and it's just it can become quite overwhelming. I can tell you that has been a huge challenge. And, you know, what world am I working in now? What's required of me for the people in that part of that world? Has been super challenging. So I'm being completely honest here. The second bit for me is I talked about that emotional journey before from elation to this sort of dip of you are replaceable. And then there's been a further dip and it's been one of absolute grief because you're losing and saying goodbye to the people that you work with. I mean, I spend more time with my professional colleagues often than my family and you know, there'll be heads out there and leaders out there that know exactly what I'm talking about. These are my friends. I came to a city where I didn't know anybody. And so there is that sense of grief, of loss. Oh, I'm not going to be in the office with you next week. So I'm being quite realistic about that. And people say, well, how much of it are you excited about the position and how much is it grief? And I would say it's right here, right now. It's, you know, it's swung to when today's the last day. You know, grief is probably 80%, 20% excitement. And no doubt next week, it'll that pendulum will shift again. I don't know why I'm talking in threes at the moment, but everything seems to be three. Is maintaining that integrity of continuing to work and to work hard. You know, I've had a 10 to 12 week sort of journey, but I can imagine if you've got a 6 month leading, it can be a little bit death by a thousand cuts. You know, oh, why am I getting up this morning? Why am I doing this work? And so holding that integrity personally, but professionally, and that sense of service to your organization, I have found challenging. So many times I've got to the middle of the day and said, oh dear, you know, I'm losing interest and I'm losing interest fast. I'm ready for what's next. But you have to honor the fact that you're still in a role and there are still expectations. So getting up every morning, being motivated to be your best self is probably a bit harder than normal, I've got to be honest. So I think that's some insights into some of the challenges that I've certainly faced over the last sort of 10 to 12 weeks.
I want to ask you a little bit more about the grief. You've talked about your own grief there, you know, for loss of relationships and whatnot. But I imagine that you probably, I don't know, maybe you didn't necessarily consider that there would be significant grief of others. And you kind of touched on that a little bit earlier. But what's that kind of been like for you in terms of you're dealing with your own grief, but now you've got grief of, you know, I don't know, whatever, 5-10 people around you, and that how that struck you in the moment?
Yeah, I think I can be really clear about this. It was all about me. When the announcement was made and everything, it was all about me, and I was living in my own bubble. And I was, you know, I was excited. I had no inkling about how others might feel. I had no sense of it. And I had little, it's not like I had little regard for it. I just, my head wasn't in that space of concern for others. And then I started to receive the response. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of tears in my office on a daily basis for other reasons, but some of the tear stuff, I'm like, what's going on here? And then I'm finding myself getting teary. And in the work that I do, you know, I like to wrap people in cotton wool and I'm looking after them and I'm taking them on a journey, et cetera. I can't do this. And so that really sort of struck me that my usual approach to working with staff, I had to just let go because I was like, this is their grief. They need to experience that. But I was absolutely surprised. I'm like, I'm not sure why I was surprised, but I had no sense of it because I was just living in my inner world. Probably the other thing in relation to what sort of has struck me, and particularly around my family, you know, it's all been about transition for me. It's all about where I am, where I'm going. And I found it really hard to even just recognize all of the members of my family are going through the same experience, just in a different context. And, you know, how do I understand that? How do I have empathy? How do I help them through that journey? And I have a real responsibility. And that's probably come to the fore, certainly in the last few weeks. And I think will be amplified in the weeks to come. They're transitioning and going through the same experience I am, but just in a different context. And so for me, again, another thing that's been surprising, it sort of struck me a little bit late in the piece. And that's just probably because I've just been so focused on my own little world. So yeah, I think that's an interesting reflection about the people around you and what they're experiencing.
And just to kind of probably get pretty close to wrapping things up, as you kind of mentioned earlier, today is your last day. We're recording on, what are we, week 2 of term 4. Can you take us through the last week? You know, what's been going on for you this week? What's happened? If you could describe that journey of just this week.
Well, the journey of the week has been not necessarily what I imagined. The week started with, you know, got 5 more get-ups. You know, we don't say 5 more sleeps, we say 5 more get-ups. So it starts with that countdown, if you like. It did start with, I knew I had to do it, and I had to do it pretty quickly, which was to pack down your office and pack up things and take the paintings off the wall, and didn't recognize that I had 6 boxes of books and a full large garbage bin with papers like you wouldn't believe, filing cabinets of paper. I don't know why we keep paper. Anyway, lots and lots of papers. So there was a real sort of cleansing of the office.
Every paper you've ever written because it was such gold.
Oh, such gold. But that, well, clearly they weren't, because they were all annotated with all the things that should have changed. I found old applications for previous sort of staff, and you know, maybe some notes that perhaps sort of been in the shredder way earlier. So yeah, and some confidential sort of, you know, parent data and staff data. Anyway, we won't go into that. I buried the bodies, as my boss says. But there's this there was a real cleansing, if you like, and I like doing that. You know, this sort of shedding, sort of cleansing moment. So it actually started the week off quite well, and loved that. Sort of moved to the middle of the week, and we made a decision that not to have one-on-one meetings this week. I just wanted to enjoy the last week. But guess what happens? Meetings creep in. They just do. So I had to give that up pretty quick. But Wednesday, I had this wonderful farewell from the staff, which was just such a joy. I was very nervous about it, but it was just awesome. And I didn't know what to expect, but I just knew I needed to keep my emotions in check. And, you know, they call me a bit of a crybaby. So I had to kind of, you know, hold that together. And I did for the most part. And I just had to be reverent. I thought I'd be smart and I'd be funny and have some wit. I was like, nah, a slide in length, you know, it's a Matt special, a little bit of meaning, a bit of love in the room, that sort of thing. And then I got the absolute best roasting ever from my colleague on behalf of the staff. And it was sensational. It was the funniest farewell speech I've ever heard, and just lifted the roof. And it was fair. No, it was absolutely fair. I mean, if you can't take a bit of a roasting, well, then you're in the wrong game. You need a bit of a thick skin. And then the most extraordinary thing, I've turned around. There's a full big band. My boss is in a tux and they sing a Michael Bublé number for me. And it was just out of this world. So Wednesday was just such a wonderful moment. And people were like, why are you doing it on a Wednesday? And I said, because our U12s finish on Friday. And it's just not appropriate. It's their day, not mine. And so I wanted to make sure that that was separate. And then I guess finishing off the week, enjoying some time with the U12s, and a bit of a curveball, I've got to say, Luke.
Didn't see this one coming.
As you'd expect in school, it's a little change. So our rev is not doing too well. And so they said, oh, Matt, you can be the rev for this service, and, you know, you can do these prayers and these blessings. And by the way, could you do some, you know, some homilies? You could just piece those together and just sort of write them up and deliver them. So the last 24 hours has not necessarily been what I thought it would be, but certainly it's been a wonderful week of great joy, of great freedom, of feeling liberated, but also a one of reality. There's still work to be done. So it won't be until, our final event is finished later this evening that I'll feel like I've can shed all that salt off me that's accumulated over time, and I can walk into the next chapter of my life.
All right. Well, just before we wrap up, my last question, Matt, we're not going to do my 6 in 60 seconds, which I love, but my last question, Matt.
I'm so relieved.
For those out there who are going to go through this journey at some point over the next few years as they are an aspiring or senior leader moving into different roles, if there was three, because you know it's the leaving episode of three, if there were three pieces of advice you could leave them with in terms of preparing to leave well, what might that be?
I think probably the three biggest ones, and we've kind of touched on them today, you're never finishing your work. You'll never finish it all, and you have to be okay with that. You have to live in a world of just being imperfect. You're just being human, and you just need to be okay with that. I think just remember, it's not all about you. People want to have their say in how it all works. So just let it happen. So many of us in schools, we control the narrative and we control, you know, events and things like that. Just let go. It's actually just not all about you. And the last thing I'd say is you have to be so intentional about ensuring there is space to enjoy it. You know, if you hold things so tightly and continue to control things, you'll actually miss the moment. And it is actually a really cool moment, because it is that acknowledgement of a time of harvest. You've done some great work and that season's come to an end. But what you look forward to is, I guess, that season of sowing. It's about to commence. Get ready. How wonderful that is to look forward to. So maybe that would be the three last pieces of advice I'd provide.
I like it. Well, that brings an end to our show for today. I normally throw it to you for the closing comments, but I think you've summed it up there perfectly. So we're not going to do that today. But what I will say is that, you know, Monday brings a new week. It brings a new season. It's kind of like an interim kind of, what is it? An interim spring kind of season. Ooh, you've got eight to 10 weeks, before you officially hop into the chair. But, I think we will touch base on this journey, maybe in December sometime, or just before you hop into the chair, and you can describe a little more about that next season. So looking forward to that. For the audience out there, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show and please don't forget to share the love. Tell a few of your colleagues that you've listened to this pretty cool podcast called Ed Leaders. As I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're not signed up to the Ed Leaders newsletter, you can do so at edleaders.com.au. Thanks again to the sponsors of today's show. You can check them out on their website. That would mean the world to us as they support us to make this professional learning free for you. You can connect with Ed Leaders and both Matt and I on LinkedIn, where we'll keep you up to date with what we're up to. Thanks again for listening. Hey, and we'll catch you next week.
Go well.